happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. Here are the headlines. Opposition Senator Delbert Parris revisited recommendations made in Parliament last year, including the proposal to allocate revenues from the CBI program to the geothermal project.
Q95DA.
The Barbados Caribbean Climate Outlook Forum, CARICOF, announced on Tuesday that 2024 is projected to be a year marked by climate extremes throughout the Caribbean region. And Israeli airstrikes killed dozens of Palestinians in the southern Gaza city of Rafah on Monday, as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken called on Hamas leaders to promptly accept Israel's ceasefire proposal.
Q95.
The news is brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fenced pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Opposition Senator Delbert Parris revisited recommendations proposed by the parliamentary opposition last year regarding the geothermal energy project. One of these suggestions involves directing revenues from the CBI program towards the geothermal project. Parris deems this recommendation to be reasonable, especially after examining figures presented by the Minister of National Security in Parliament on Monday.
A lot of people are talking about why we're taking loans and so on and so forth. And that is a concern. It's a fair concern, Mr. Speaker, given our debt to GDP ratio, et cetera, et cetera. One of the recommendations that we made was to relook at the possibility of using proceeds from the CBI, or buoyant CBI program, to do that. I heard a few numbers that the Senator Blackmore mentioned a while ago, and compared to what we've been able to do with CBI, that could have been a walk in the park. I don't think anybody thinks it's unfair for there to be a reasonable recommendation or question as to why we are not considering proceeds from our CBI to do this project. I mean, the minority will have its say, the majority will have its way, and the resolution will be passed today. So obviously we're going to go a different way. But it's worth mentioning that maybe we would not have had the concern about adding now today toward debt. The GDP ratio. Not that it is unnecessary, but maybe we could have gone a different way.
Parris also highlighted the potential for Domlec to expand its operations in a manner that allows for collaboration with the Dominica Geothermal Energy Company Limited. He emphasized that given the current circumstances on the island, if not provided with an opportunity, the company could face decline and eventual closure.
Second recommendation that I want to point out, Mr. Speaker, is there's a lot of talk about Dom. We mentioned re-looking at Domlec's role or challenging them to play a bigger role in this process, maybe in tandem with the Dominica Geothermal Development Company. Finding a way to challenge them to grow. The Minister of Finance mentioned their limitations early on. But you have to find a way to let Domlec grow. Because if Domlec doesn't grow, it'll die. If it doesn't grow, it's going to die. This changing environment that is currently existing will force it either to die or to grow. But not only just the company, Mr. Speaker. What happens to the rest of the shareholder? How are we looking at how they play? Currently, a colleague mentioned it earlier, Domlec is largely, some people might want to call it a monopoly. But if you've done a thing well for 74 years, I think, you know, they own their generation, their transmission, and that's what they do. They've been able to do it well up until Hurricane Maria. This changing environment, Domlec owns neither. They don't own generation, they don't own transmission. How then are we confident that Domlec is going to be able to buy power, sell it back to its consumers, maintain the lines, maintain the transmission network, the new transmission network, and still be able to provide power cheaper? Seems hard to understand. It seems hard to comprehend. Maybe that's my limitations, but we are fortunate because there are people on the other side who have the information.
And that was Parliamentary Opposition Senator Delbert Parris. President of the Dominica Cycling Association, Ronald Charles, is encouraging interested Dominicans to join the Dominica Cycling Association as cyclists. Eligible persons can either join the junior, road racers, or mountain racers categories. Mr. Charles explained that the objective of the association is to significantly improve cycling as a sport in Dominica, promote health and wellness, and ensure professional opportunities are provided for cyclists.
The objective is for us to get more people on bikes and to improve on the health or the health of our people and sportspersons holistically.
President of the Dominica Cycling Association, Ronald Charles. Dominicans are advised that an old survey plan is not honored or recognized as a certificate of title by the Registry Division. Registrar of Titles, Ms. Vincia Auguste Francois, explained that the persons should immediately refrain from using old survey plans as certificate of title. She clarified what Registry Division staff recognize as certificate of title, that making someone a registered landowner.
By way of information, in Dominica, we have registered lands as well as unregistered lands. And I will make the distinction so that we all understand. So where a landowner holds a portion of land and he has in his hand a certificate of title for that portion, we refer to that portion of land as being registered. It means that there is a record for that portion of land in the land registry. All certificates of titles have a number, it has a date when it was entered in the register, and it has a description of the land and the signature and seal of the registrar affixed to that document. We also have unregistered lands, as I mentioned earlier. Unregistered lands refers to lands which has never been registered. The owners use and they live on the land, but it is not registered, which means that it is not recorded in the land register. And the owners do not have a certificate of title for that portion of land. Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that an old survey plan, which would have been given to them by their predecessors, is a certificate of title. It is not. I have already highlighted the distinguishing features of a certificate of title. It has a number, it has a date, it has the signature of the registrar, and it has a seal of the registrar. Therefore, an old survey plan is not a certificate of title.
And that was Registrar of Titles, Ms. Vincia Auguste Francois. Dominica Association of Persons with Disabilities Executive Director Anika Asri emphasized the importance of promoting diversity in employment opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Dominica. Speaking to state-owned radio, she highlighted the ongoing challenge of securing government subvention, which is crucial for ensuring the smooth functioning of the association.
We are still waiting on our subvention. If we receive that, then it would help us a lot with some staff payments and recurring expenses. That is an issue for us. We have some programs we need to get on board. But to get on board, then we need some funding. That is an issue. And also the issue of employment, that is also on the forefront, because our advocacy has reached far. There are a lot of employers who still doesn't want to employ people with disabilities. I don't know, because they have to renovate or make the place accessible. But when you make a place accessible for people with disabilities, then anybody can work there, because we want people with disabilities to be gainfully employed so they can contribute to the society.
And that was Anika Asprey, Executive Director of the Dominica Association of Persons with Disability. In a bid to tackle the growing digital gender gap, Dr. Carla Barnett, Secretary General of CARICOM, called for intensified initiatives to promote digital gender equality across the region, highlighting the need to amplify the voices of women and girls in the ICT sector. Dr. Barnett issued this appeal on CARICOM Girls in ICT Day, observed on April 25th, under the theme Inspiring Youth Innovation, Leading Change in CARICOM. Emphasizing the regional focus of the day, Dr. Barnett underscored the shared aspiration for a collective shift towards empowering both genders to innovate and lead using available technological tools. She reiterated the commitment to nurturing a culture where youth play a pivotal role in safeguarding the future of CARICOM. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. Duasco advises that the Joe Burton Development Community site in Wesley is now fully connected to Dominica's national water grid. In this area, which has been designated by the government to relocate residents of Wesley who were displaced as a result of the ongoing works on the international airport site, Duasco's general manager Bernard Etinoff told Q95 News, water, reticulation, pipeline installations, and a storage tank with a capacity of 500,000 gallons has been installed.
Yes, I also want to say that we have successfully completed the water reticulation, the new storage tank, pipelines, and so forth for the Joe Burton developments in the Wesley area. That is the area that the government relocated the people from the new airport development sites. The government relocated a number of persons to Joe Burton, new housing development, and of course the government provided the funding to provide the water system for those persons. And we were able to we successfully complete that late last year and about to embark on a second phase of that water system now. So quite a bit has been happening, and we look forward to ongoing development in the sector.
And that was Duasco General Manager Bernard Etinoff speaking at a press conference. That's a press launch at the Prevo Cinema Conference Room on Tuesday. President of the Marigot Development Committee, Michael Pascal, launched the opening of Mayfest 2024 under the theme, Catch a Fire.
Okay, Catch a Fire is basically a call to the community to get involved, to get on board, to take your rightful place. To don't just sit on the side and look. It's to get involved in the issues of community development. The Mayfest is a community development initiative. It's all about developing a village. It's all about a village coming forward and saying yes, we are involved, we can be involved. We are in Dominica, we are part of Dominica, and we are contributing right to the Dominica development. So Catch a Fire, we see a waning of the energy. We don't know if people are tired, we don't know if the load is too heavy, but we see a waning of that. So Catch a Fire is a call to our community and maybe to the community of Dominica to catch a fire again, to get involved again, to get involved in things of your community, get involved in things of your area, get involved in things of your lane, And with that, we can, in our view, help the whole process of village development.
Mayfest 2024 will be held in two parts spanning two weekends. Mayfest Part 1 runs from May 3rd to 6th, and Mayfest Part 2 will run from May 31st to June 2nd, 2024.
The program this year is split into two portions. All right, we have a part one and a part two. Okay, some folks ask why. In a dynamic environment, you have to adjust. Okay, so there are certain things happening in our environment that caused us to relook at the whole in terms of where the Mayfest was and where we would like it to be. Because remember, we want to share the experience. Right? So we want to position ourselves in a way that most of Dominica will be able to come and share the experience. So because of that, we had to do a little shifting. So this year, Mayfest Part 1, okay, we call it Part 1, is this weekend. It runs from May 3rd to May 6th, which was the traditional period of the Mayfest, okay? But we also have Mayfest Part 2, which runs from May 31st to June 2nd, all right? So, you know, just make a note of that, make a mental note. It's a two-weekend activity, all right? So enough time for all of Dominica to come. Yeah, we have the vision that, I mean, maybe in years to come, the Mayfest will be me, right? So when we say come to Mayfest, we will be saying come to Marigot for me.
President of the Marigot Development Committee, Michael Pascal. In other news, the Barbados Caribbean Climate Outlook Forum, CARICOF, Tuesday said that 2024 is shaping up to be a year of climate extremes in the Caribbean. In its latest Caribbean Climate Outlook Bulletin, CARICOF said for the 3 months up to July this year, a return to normal ocean temperatures in the equatorial Pacific and a near-record warm tropical North Atlantic Ocean are forecast. Therefore, the region enters an intense heat season with recurrent heat waves and possible early start of an intensive wet season. Shower intensity and frequency are likely to sharply rise, resulting in high potential for flooding, flash floods, cascading hazards, and associated impacts in most places, except the ABC Islands. But it noted that unknown is how frequent incursions of dry, dust-laden Saharan air into the Caribbean will be. CARICOF said that long-term drought to the end of May is evolving in southwest Belize, Grand Cayman, French Guiana, Northern Guyana, Suriname, and Trinidad, and might possibly develop or continue in the ABC Islands, Northern Belize, Dominica, Western Jamaica, St. Vincent, and the United States, Virgin Islands. And Israeli airstrikes killed dozens of Palestinians on Monday as Hamas leaders visited Cairo for a new round of truce talks with more than half the dead in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, which foreign leaders have urged Israel not to invade.
Hamas should swiftly accept Israel's proposal for a truce in Gaza, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said on Monday.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel. And in this moment, the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas. They have to decide, and they have to decide quickly.
Blinken made the comments at a special World Economic Forum meeting in the Saudi capital of Riyadh. Negotiators for Palestine Monday to meet Qatari and Egyptian mediators about the phased ceasefire proposal Israel presented over the weekend. A source briefed on the talks said Israel's proposal involved the release of fewer than 40 of the roughly 130 hostages believed to still be held in Gaza. In exchange, Palestinians jailed in Israel would be freed. The second phase of the truce would consist of a, quote, period of sustained calm, Israel's compromise response to a Hamas demand for a permanent ceasefire. Amidst the negotiations, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu faces pressure on multiple fronts. Israel is voicing concern that the International Criminal Court could be preparing to issue arrest warrants for government officials on charges related to the conduct of its war against Hamas. Gaza health authorities say about 34,500 Palestinians have been killed in Israel's air and ground assault. The ICC is also investigating Hamas's October 7th cross-border attack, which killed about 1,200 Israelis and saw 253 hostages seized, according to Israeli counts. Netanyahu said on Friday that any ICC decisions would not affect Israel's actions, but would set a dangerous precedent. Netanyahu is also facing pressure from far-right allies to reject a new Gaza ceasefire, jeopardizing his government's stability.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Opposition Senator Adelbert Parris revisited recommendations made in Parliament last year, including the proposal to allocate revenues from the CBI program to the geothermal project.
Q95, the big station. Q95.
The Barbados CARICOM Climate Outlook Forum, CARICOF, announced on Tuesday that 2024 is projected to be a year marked by climate extremes throughout the Caribbean region. And Israeli airstrikes killed dozens of Palestinians in the southern Gaza city of Rafah on Monday, as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken called on Hamas leaders to promptly accept Israel's ceasefire proposal.
The big station.
The news was brought to you. Compliments, Rudolph Thomas Enterprises.
Q.
I am Felicin Valmond.
It happens wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95. The big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.